to get some advantage from that. Then, but outwardly he's looking like very humble man. So that you can fake that. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, he used to say, too much humility is the sign of a thief. You know, then you be careful. Somebody showing so much humility. But anyone can fake humility. But tolerance is very difficult to fake. You see, and we can see for ourselves how tolerant we are. And my measure, for me, is when I'm driving my car. How intolerant I am. Oh, and I'm always cursing everyone. Why are you doing like, what? You know, and if you're a driver, you understand, right? Then you can understand how tolerant you are. But not only that, you know, like anything. You know, like someone will, you know, like even by accident, they tread on your toe. Or you're up, ready for a fight, isn't it? It's like the gut reaction comes. And then you cannot fake that. It's very difficult to fake that. It'll come out. It'll burst out at some point, how intolerant we actually are. And that is also not just like physically, but we also have so many prejudices. Srila Guru Maharaj says, this is the nature of those who are in Maya, under the influence of Maya, that from time immemorial, we are acquiring material conditioning and misguided prejudice. And we are all full of prejudice, and prejudice is a type of intolerance. We are thinking that we are fit to judge others. That is intolerance. So first of all, you know, we have to look at our own self. Lord Jesus says that in the Bible. He told, brother, why are you looking at the speck of dust in your brother's eye when you've got a plank in your own eye? Now, this is intolerance. So Gurudev used to say, first look to your own self. And that's enough, you know, it's enough for many lifetimes. And his anthem, you can say, many times he said, my religion is finding fault with myself. We can find fault with others, it's very easy, because this is the imperfect plane. Then who will you find that's perfect in this world? Some imperfection you can find in everyone, and you can try and spend your time like looking for that, looking for the defects in others. But what will be the result? Actually, the scripture says, when you find faults in others, those same faults will come on you. So,
does anyone find a fault in themselves?
This is the question, right? So, and that's the greatest fault of all. The greatest fault of all is to think that we have no fault. So, you know, then I saw this like a cartoon. The politician, he's standing on at the lectern, and he says, who wants change? And the crowd, they all say, yes! Then he says, who wants to change? They're all silent. Now, this is the case, right? We're all thinking, well, I'm very perfect. I'm doing everything very nicely, very perfectly. And everyone else, they are making some mistake. They are doing wrong. There's that joke about the mother who goes to see her son in the army, and then she goes to visit him. He's in the army, and they're doing like a parade. And she says to the lady next to her, "Oh, that's my son, Johnny Depp." I said, "He's the only one walking in time. All the rest are out of time." You understand? They're all marching. He's the only one marching in time. They're all out of time. So, this is our nature. We always see the faults of others, but not our own faults. So our Guru Maharaj used to say, don't become a drain inspector. You know, always looking for filth with your head down the drain. Because what will happen? You, when you pull your head up, you'll find you're covered in sewage. So, we should try to practice tolerance. We may be intolerant, but we should try to practice tolerance. That means, you know, like our Gurudev used to also say, and he used to like this so much that he had it put on the wall around the mosque. Wait and see. Wait and see. So, you know, our nature is always like a knee-jerk reaction to something. Any circumstance or something, always we react to it. And when you react to something in that way, you can say, at least in my experience, 9 times out of 10, it's the wrong reaction. The knee-jerk reaction. So always like wait and see. Stand back and think. And see what will happen. And often we find that when we do that, the problem resolves itself. But in any case, we should try to. Means, you know, they like to use this in New Age circles and Buddhism particularly, to be mindful. It's a very good advice. To be mindful. To do everything means to do everything with consciousness. To be conscious about why we do things. Not just the knee-jerk reaction. But to consider carefully. This was the message of Ravan, actually, to Lakshman. You know, after Rama defeated Ravan, and Ravan's lying dying on the battlefield, then his varanas, the monkeys, they're like making fun of Ravan, like giving curse to him and joking about him, and Ram doesn't like that at all. And Ram tells Lakshman why they're doing like this. Actually, he had some faults, but actually he was a very great person. And you should teach them, they should show proper honor to him. Now that he's like in the last moments of his life, you show some example and teach them to honor him. So you go and ask him to give some upadesh to you, some teaching to you. So then Lakshman went and he said, my Lord Ram has asked me that he thinks you are a very great person, and he asked me, you please give some lesson to me. What is the most valuable lesson in your life? Then Ravan said, yes, and now in my last moments of my life, I am considering. And I see that what was the cause of my downfall was my impetuousness and my lack of mindfulness. And so when Surpanakh came to me, that after being disfigured by Lakshman, and she told that your brothers Ka and Dushana have both been killed by these two boys, these two princes living in the jungle. Then he said, when I heard this, my immediate thought was, only that must be Narayan. Only Narayan has power to do this, to kill my brothers and all their armies, like two boys. It must be Narayan living there. And he said, and then my thought was, let me go immediately and surrender to his lotus feet. He said, but then I consulted with my advisors, and they all advised me, no, don't do that. Don't do it. You know? And who are they? They are also asuras. So they are advising not to surrender to Narayan. He's like our enemy. What are you talking about? So then I listened to them, and I didn't surrender. Then at Supanak, she told me, but you know, he has a very beautiful wife, and she would be very suitable for you. And then Ravan said, then when I went and I saw the beauty of Sita Devi, my immediate reaction was, I must have her. I must possess her. And this was like my knee-jerk reaction, you can say. I must. She is so beautiful. My mind became obsessed with owning her or having her. You know, then my advisors, even my father, told me, no, son, don't do that. You know, your infamy will be, will go down in history if you do that. You don't take the wife of another man. Whoever you are, like however powerful you may be, you never do that. And this will bring destruction to our dynasty, to everything. Ravan already was cursed before. Like twice cursed. One was by Sita in her previous life, it is told, that she was practicing mystic yoga as a yogini in the forest, and Ravan came there, and seeing her beauty also there, she was in like a samadhi trance, and she grabbed her by the hair, like desiring her. He grabbed her by the hair, the brute side of his nature came, and waking from her trance, she made her arm into a sword, and cut off her own hair. And she gave curse to Ravan. If you ever touch a woman without her permission, you will immediately die. So this first curse, then against her will. Another curse, then he was also cursed by Parvati too. Because although Ravan was Asura, by his he was a Brahmin. And very expert Purujit, like expert at the Vedic sacrifice. So one time, then Lord Shiva, living in Kailash with Parvati, he wants to give some like gift to Parvati. And Parvati, she's not interested in anything from any material thing. She thought, no, that I am able to give service to you, that is my perfection in life, I do not need anything. But he's insisting, I want to give something to you, please. There must be some desire that you have. You please tell me, and I will fulfill that desire. I'm not without some capacity, I can fulfill any desire. You tell me what it will be. Then finally, after thinking a long time, she said, well, there is one thing, I am a woman, and sometimes I like that we will have some family function. You know, we can invite the relatives and the friends and everything. And here, you know, like sitting in the ice cave in Kailash, there's nowhere to like entertain anybody. It would be nice to have like somewhere, some place. Can you give some place? Just, you know, like some modest place. Then Lord Shiva, yes. So then he had constructed a golden city on the island of Lanka, and this city was meant for Parvati. So before, you know, as is the custom, before you move into your home, then some Purujit will come and do some sacrifice for that. So then Lord Shiva knows the best Purujit, that's Ravan. He can do perfectly that, sacrifice everything, so he was called to do that. And he made like Agnihotra, did everything, made the city like perfect, ready. And then Lord Shiva was so happy, his Ashutosh, right, so easily pleased. He's so happy, he wants to give like some blessing to Ravan. What is it that you want? Something you desire? I'll give you that. Then he said, you know what, I want the city. Then you see, this is the nature of the Asura. Although he's a Brahmin and doing everything, he's coveting that for himself. So then Lord Shiva said, oh no, that's not a good idea. Like, choose something else. He said, no, my mind's made up. You gave your word, you would grant my desire. Okay. He said, okay, but you should know that this city is Parvati's city. And she's not going to be happy when I tell her about it. And really, that was the case. You know, then Parvati came before Ravan, and she also gave curse to him. That this city will be the cause of your destruction, and the whole city, I curse you, the whole city will be burned to the ground, and all your family members will be destroyed. So then he's like already double cursed, right? They know that, his family know that, then his father's saying, you're not to take Ram's wife, you know, they're like, you're just inviting disaster on yourself and on our dynasty and everything. Then Ravan told Lakshman, but I could not, I was obsessed now, you know, that as we were saying before, you know, like how the mind becomes obsessed by fixating on some particular thing. So he was like fixated now, he must have Sita. Then he I can't leave it, even against all good advice, even I knew that their advice is right, that I shouldn't do this, I can't stop it, right? I can't stop. And he said, and these two things were the cause of my destruction. So my advice to you, Lakshman, is, if something auspicious comes in your front, don't think about that. Just do it immediately. Do it. Don't stop and think about that. But if something inauspicious comes to you, try and avoid that. As much as you can, think about that. Be mindful about that. Try and make some other way. Because I didn't do that, now you see what the result. Now I'm lying here, unfinished, being mocked by monkeys. So, then this is very important for us, to be mindful of everything that we do. Mindful. And through mindfulness, we can be tolerant of others and of the environment. If we are mindful, and
Shri Shri Guru Gauranga, Radha Sham Sundar Giridhari Jyoti Jai, Jai Giri Govardhan.
And a little, you can say, inward thinking, to contemplate everything. Especially regarding to the spiritual truth, then we are more likely to be able to tolerate. If we will understand, if someone is giving some opposition to us, then if we will think about that, we can understand. If they are giving some violent opposition or so, then what is within them that is making that happen? And what is within us that is attracting that to us? Taktenu kampaya shusha mikshamanu. This is our Guru Maharaj. Always like this shloka very much. You know that what is happening to me is meant to happen to me. It is the result of my own actions. So Guru Maharaj would say, like paraphrasing, he would say, my karma has come to face me. Now you can't object to that. What is coming in your front, that's, you made that happen. You know, our nature is, the material nature is that we're always looking to blame others for our situation. Oh yeah, they did that, or he said that, or she did this, or always someone else's fault. But actually the truth is, no one to blame but our own self. And sometimes that's a very bitter pill for us to swallow. No, actually, that's happening to me because of what I did. Then, if that's the case, then we can tolerate anything. If we can understand, because not only is that happening because of what I did, but that's happening because that's the best thing to happen to me in this situation. It's meant to happen to me. Then Guru Maharaj said, then if you can see the smiling face of the Lord behind that, and if you will understand that he has no malice in his nature at all, he will not do anything punitive to you just for the sake of it. Whatever is happening, even harsh dealings that, from the environment that come to us, if we can understand that the hand of the Lord is behind that, the sanction of the Lord is behind that, and not in a malicious way, but to rectify me, to help me to to progress in my life, then there's no question of being intolerant. Then not only will we tolerate, but we will welcome that. We'll welcome that. Then, well, and one time, just one more thing about tolerance. So when Gurudev, someone was, like his, he had his like balcony crew, you know, all the devotees that used to stay with him and look after him and everything. And one, sometimes they're not always getting on with one another, you know. So one of the girls there, one day she's like some, you could say, antagonism from another party amongst them. And finally she came to Gurudev and she's like all like really upset and she said, I've tolerated it. It's like so much I've tolerated and I cannot, still like nothing good coming and I don't know what to do. And Gurudev immediately, he said, yes, you are tolerating, but you are not tolerating with affection. There must be some more than just tolerating. There must be some desire to do good for the other person, to the other party. Not just that I'll grit my teeth and tolerate that bastard, you know, whatever we're thinking about that person, but rather we want some good for that person. If we want good for ourselves, we must want good for them also.
The moment you think of it, you go.
Yes, then as Srila Guru Maharaj used to say so many times, if my prayer to the Lord is please be merciful to me, then why at the same time we cannot tolerate when we see the Lord being merciful to others? Oh, why they're giving so much mercy to this person or that person and not to me? Oh, that is intolerable. So Gurudev, one time when I was in Navadvipa and we were having some discussion, he told, you tell the devotees in London, my message is this, that they must tolerate everything until it becomes intolerable. And then he said, and then that also they must tolerate. So, but tolerance is not something you can fake. Either you are or you aren't tolerant. But we are to try and practice that. First of all, we are to recognize our own intolerance, our own prejudice, our own misconceived notion of everything. And then by practicing some contemplative mindfulness about the situation with prayer and taking the advice of the Vaishnavas and the shelter of the Vaishnavas, we will understand how it is necessary for us to tolerate. And we will try to practice that. And also learning to give honor to others. But Guru Maharaj said, by giving honor to others, you make them honorable, even if they are not honorable. You can make them honorable by giving honor to them. And everyone has some goodness in them. Whoever they are, everyone has some goodness, whatever their position may be. So that's why Guru Maharaj would say, you have to try to dive deep into the bright side of the person. Try and find that out. And Guru Maharaj told us, you know, that in the time of Sarasvati Thakur, you know, not everybody gets on with everybody. So some disagreement between devotees sometimes. Then in the meeting, Sarasvati Thakur would make a meeting with his disciples. Then he would say, when he would note that this devotee and this devotee, they're clashing always, don't get on with each other. Then he would say something about your friend, in praise of your friend. And he would not be satisfied with something glib or, you know, superficial. But they would have to dive deep into that, the good side of that person's character, and like mine the jewels from that person and give that to Sarasvati Thakur's satisfaction. And this way we can learn how to appreciate the goodness in others. And we will try to do that. Again, it's a terrible trait in human nature, is that it makes us feel better when we see other people fail. It makes us feel better about ourselves. Yeah, I knew he was going to do that. I always said he was a nonsense, you know? But we should not celebrate that. This is not a cause for celebration. We should try to see the good prospect in others, and try to encourage their, to bring that out. That should also be there, to try to bring out the honorable side of anyone's nature, and especially amongst the Vaishnavas. We should try to ignore the apparent side. Guru Maharaj would say that, ignore the apparent side, and try to see the real nature of the person. You see, that's the whole thing, isn't it, you know? When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was a very close friend of the editor of the Amrita Bazaar Patrika, which is a Bengali newspaper. And one time that his friend, the editor, he came to stay in the Gaudiya Mott in Bagh Bazaar for a few weeks. He wanted to stay and like live in the ashram and like that for some time. Then after maybe 2-3 weeks, he had a meeting with Prabhupada Sarasvati Thakur, and Prabhupada said, "So what is your conclusion?" And he said, "I'm very sorry to tell you," he said, "but all these men living here, they're all hypocrites. They're all preaching one thing and doing the opposite. And you should just send them home to their families, you know? Like, why you keep these hypocrites in your ashram, you know?" And Sarasvati Thakur's reply to him was, "And should we go to the hospital and send all the sick people home? Is that what you're saying? Do you follow it? Go to the hospital and all the people who are sick, send them home." Then no, right, because you know that's why they're there. They're there because they're sick. For treatment. And so whatever their fault may be, they're in the right place. They've come for the treatment. Then we should not look to, oh, maybe they're hypocrites, maybe they're doing wrong, maybe they're doing this. But they've come to the right place, and here they'll get the best treatment, the best. So no, I will not send them home. That we can see, you know, this is, we're all work in progress, you know. That's why in Prapanna Jivanamritam, Guru Maharaj has given this verse in there. It says that what emanates dirt is not the same as something that has become covered by dirt. You follow? So someone may be very dirty, but that's not the same as something which actually emanates dirt, something which is dirt, you can say. You may be like completely filthy, but if you're on your way to the shower, who can criticize you for that? Very soon you'll be clean again. So we may be imperfect in so many ways and full of fault in so many ways, but we are trying to become clean. Then the fact that anyone's trying to do that is a remarkable thing in this day and age. Everyone is happy with their situation. And I mean to say, some like proud of their position in this material world. No one even thinks that there's anything wrong. That is the nature of Maya, right? The best prison is where the prisoners all think that they're free. They all think that they have no chains. But the chains are there of their own making. You don't even need to employ a jailer when that's the case, when everybody thinks that they have full liberty to do whatever they want. But the reality is completely different to that. So, Sarasvati Thakur said, if you can just wake one person up from the clutches of Maya, that's a miraculous thing. So, you know, then that's what this Krishna consciousness movement is about. It's about waking people up from the illusion that they are free and that they are that they have liberty to do whatever it is that they want. No, we are all bound in slavery to Maya. That's the case. By nature, the jiva is dependent. Always. Then the only choice is whether you are dependent on Maya or whether you are dependent on Krishna. And Krishna consciousness movement is about waking us up to the prospect of voluntarily giving our making ourselves dependent on Krishna and leaving off Maya. We are all trying to take shelter of Maya, and we are being battered by the material nature. But we are thinking that, like, happiness is just around the corner. Always that, like that prospect, just around the, like, just a few more pounds in the bank, I'll be happy. Just a few more, you know, whatever it is, then I'll be happy. But it never happens. But really, our prospect is with Lord Krishna. And what is coming to us according to our karma, there's nothing we can do about that. What is already preordained, there's nothing you can do to stop that. And there's nothing you can do to make that happen also. It's going to come. So don't waste your time with that. Utilize your time for trying to connect with the plane of reality. Again, like Lord Jesus said, don't store your treasure where moth and rust will corrupt it, but store your treasure in the house of the Lord. Now, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to transfer our energy from being materialists to being spiritualists. And spiritualist means not exploiting, not renouncing, but dedicating ourselves to the center of existence. That is Lord Krishna. And step by step, we are trying to adjust our consciousness for that. Guru Maharaj would say, real religion means proper adjustment. Means always adjusting your consciousness with the environment. Not the opposite. Not trying to adjust your environment to suit your consciousness. This is what we do. This is a mistake that we make. But we are not to... We cannot change our environment, actually. A very small amount. But not so much. And then, the whole central teaching of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is, don't try to change the environment, try to change yourself. Because you don't have power over the environment, but you do have some power over yourself. So try and change yourself, adjust yourself, then to see that the environment is friendly to us. That Lord Krishna's hand is behind everything, and that he wants our ultimate fortune. He wants the best of everything for us. And if we surrender to him, he will make all arrangements for us. And just as Krishna consciousness, we can say in a nutshell, this is Mahaprabhu has taught us this, these teachings of humility, tolerance, and giving honor to others, to try to make us fit to chant the holy name of Krishna. Anyone can chant the name of Krishna, but for that name to be Shudana, for the Lord to actually reveal himself to us, and for that vibration to be pure, it is necessary for us to practice humility, tolerance, and honor to all. So Mahaprabhu has given us the greatest fortune in his holy name and in the religious practice of Harinam Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan will give us the result of all spiritual practices. And other than the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, nothing else is necessary in this material world. In this age of Kali, no other way, no other way, no other way, except to chant the holy name of the Lord, chant the holy name of the Lord, chant the holy name of the Lord. We must become fixed in our faith in the holy name. So here we have Vishakha Devi. She's come from our other temple today. She's also very devoted to the holy name of Lord Krishna. So maybe you'd like to say a few words for our benefit.
I feel very satisfied hearing from you. If someone has a particular topic or question, I can address that, but I don't feel any necessity to say anything. Thank you.
He's also very humble.
Like Devas, he said, give all us respect. be told it. But by doing that, you don't go low, but you go high and so forth. Difficult, but it's, you have to be done all the time. Am I right? I'm giving respect to all of you.
Yes.
And give you honest to others.
We're actually on our own. We it's actually impossible to develop those qualities. And this song of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we're singing every day, Guru Dev Kripa Bindu Diya. This song is about that actually. You know, give me the power to be able to tolerate. You know, give me the power to be able to give honor to all as appropriate. Please. Let me feel as low as a blade of grass without, you know, and give honor to others without accepting for ourselves. We're praying to Gurudev for that mercy so that we can do that. That so much we are dependent on the grace of Guru. We, on our own, it is not possible. And we're fortunate. We saw that example of our Gurudev, how much he tolerated. Gurudev used to say in his humility, you know, my Guru Maharaj, he tolerated so much for me, so now I must tolerate something. And with our Gurudev, that is not true. But in our own case, you know, it is true. You know, we think of Gurudev and how much he tolerated with us and with others that we saw. And then we think, oh, then I can tolerate a little bit, you know. If you can tolerate like that, then I can tolerate a little bit. I can do my part. And especially in connection with our devotional family, personally, the thing that makes it the easiest for me is to see them in relationship with our Gurudev. And, you know, because really, if we really have real love and attachment for our Guru, then we will appreciate everyone else who also has love for him. You know, like Gurudev used to say, if I see anyone does even a little service for Guru Maharaj, then I feel that I am their slave. That was Gurudev's feeling. And we should feel something like that. If we really love our Guru, you know, as Gurudev used to say, love me, love my dog, right? So if we really love Gurudev, like that love should extend to others who also love him, you know. There's one very nice story, very like, it's a very extreme example of Gurudev's love for Srila Guru Maharaj and being expressed in the way that we're describing here. I heard Srila Gurudev telling this in a recording once, that there was one, I think it was a Western devotee, who was staying at the Mat in Navadvip, and in Srila Gurudev, as we know, he used to go back and forth to Calcutta. He had service in Calcutta, and Srila Srila Maharaj, he was always, you know, very sad when Gurudev would leave, and you know, he loved our Gurudev so much, he couldn't tolerate his separation sometimes, even for a few hours. And so, as we've heard, he'd often send, when Gurudev would go, beyond the even before he like was able to leave the Mat, Srila Srila Maharaj would send someone to bring him back, or sometimes Gurudev would reach the bridge, and Srila Srila Maharaj would send someone by a shortcut, you know. I was hearing the other day, Gurudev, he said, you know, sometimes he, you know, he'd have to like wait for Srila Srila Maharaj to be in the right mood, so like to get him to give him permission to go. And he asked him one day and he got permission to go, and then he went down, he got in his car and he started the car, and then somebody came running down, oh, Guru Maharaj said, can you come to see him? And then Gurudev went back, Guru Maharaj, what happened? You said I could go. Oh, but then when the car started, it gave me heart palpitations, so now I'm not feeling well, then better you stay. So like this, he never liked Gurudev to leave the Mat. And so on one occasion, Srila Gurudev was in Calcutta, and Srila Srila Maharaj sent somebody there to tell him, please come back. And this devotee, he came to Gurudev in Calcutta, and he was telling this to Gurudev, and Gurudev was saying, okay, Prabhu, I have to finish some work here, And then I will come. Don't worry, I will come. And but this devotee, he became insistent to the point of becoming offensive. Like really pushing and insisting in like a heavy mood. Guru Maharaj said, you have to come. You have to come immediately. You have to come. And Gurudev was like trying to pacify him. Okay, Prabhu, I have to finish my job here, then I will come. And finally he convinced him he was coming soon, and then he left, that devotee. And Gurudev, he was not disturbed, you know, as a naturally, you know, humble Vaishnava. He was not disturbed, but he was a little puzzled, you know, how this devotee could speak to me like that, you know. Because he would say, you know, everybody in Chaitanya Sarasatma, they knew what my position was. He had an egotistic way, you know, but like Gurudev actually said, in the time of Guru Maharaj, my position was stronger. Because it was like a dictatorship, you know. Because Srila Sridhar was giving full backing to Gurudev. Like he would tell the devotees, if I say one thing and Govinda Maharaj says something else, you do what Govinda Maharaj says. Everybody had absolute faith in Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and Srila Sridhar Maharaj was giving absolute backing to Gurudev. But then when Srila Sridhar Maharaj left, Gurudev said it became more like a democracy. He had to, like, you know, negotiate, compromise a little with his godbrothers. So Gurudev's position was like supreme in the mat. Nobody could speak to him like that. So Gurudev, he was simply a little puzzled, like, how could he speak to me like this?
Yes.
You know, how could he have this kind of audacity? And he was contemplating this. And then he thought to himself, it must be, it can only be because this devotee has so much love for Guru Maharaj. It is the only way. So he's forgetting himself. You know, only because he loves Guru Maharaj so much, he's forgetting my position, he's forgetting proper Vaishnav etiquette, and he's speaking to me in this offensive way. That must be the reason, because he loves Guru Maharaj and he wants to please Guru Maharaj. So he came to this conclusion, and then he came back to the mat and everything continuing. And then sometime after that, this same devotee, he decided he wanted to take sannyas. And he approached Srila Sridhar Maharaj about this. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he consulted with some of the senior devotees in the mat, Sagar Maharaj and maybe Gaur Krishna. And they all said, no, we don't think this devotee is qualified for sannyas. We don't think you should give him sannyas. And so Srila Sridhar Maharaj told him, okay, I'm sorry, I consulted with the devotees here. They don't think you're fit, so I will not give you sannyas. And then this devotee, he went to Gurudev. Because he knew if he could convince Gurudev, then Gurudev would convince Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And then he would get what he wanted. So then he went to Srila Gurudev and he prayed to him, oh please, you know, I would like to take sannyas. And I asked Guru Maharaj, but Guru Maharaj said no. But I know if you will tell him, then he will accept. And so Gurudev, he thought about this and he thought to himself, well, this devotee, he proved himself to me previously, you know, in that instance when he was so rude to me, he proved his love for Guru Maharaj. And since he must love Guru Maharaj so much, then he's qualified to take sannyas. So Gurudev came to that conclusion. But first he checked with him, you know, then what happened, then Gurudev went to Srila Sridhar Maharaj and told him, I think you can give him sannyas. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he was still hesitating. He said, can you be doubly sure about this? Because the others I asked, they said they don't think he's qualified. So are you, maybe you can double speak to him double again, check, be sure. Yeah. So Gurudev went back to him and he said, you know, I'm the only one in the mat who's supporting you in this. So, you know, like if you cannot maintain your sannyas, it's all coming to me. I will be responsible. It's all going to come on my shoulders. So are you really sure about this? You know, actually, it's not necessary to take sannyas. And he told him, to practice devotional life, you just need to take harinam, practice trinada pisu nichena. You don't need to wear this dress. That is only for preaching. Are you really sure this is necessary? And this devotee, he insisted, yes, yes. And I promise you, I will maintain sannyas. And And he said, I can go and drown myself in the Ganges, but I will never leave Sannyas, I swear to you. And so then Gurudev, he was convinced, and he went back to Srila Srinivas Maharaj and said, oh, please, Guru Maharaj, you know, really, I think he's qualified, and I think he can maintain this. And so on the basis of that, Srila Srinivas Maharaj gave him Sannyas. And unfortunately, that devotee, he lasted about a year. Then he left. And not only that, but then he wrote a letter to Srila Gurudev. And he told Srila Gurudev, you told me that if I cannot maintain my sannyas, you will be responsible. Such a rascal. But Srila Gurudev, he would, as we all know, he would sometimes say, you know, my fault is that I believe in everyone. I believe this is my fault. But in this particular example, it's very wonderful because it shows, you know, how much love he had for Guru Maharaj. That even somebody who was actually being rude to him, he took that as an expression of love for Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and therefore he considered him qualified for this type of post. Oh, a very, very beautiful example for us. And anyway, in the same way, we want to look at our family members with some type of magnanimous spirit, you know, that whatever faults they have, they love Gurudev. Or they love our gurus. So we can overlook everything else, you know. You know, we have this common ground. Gurudev also, he expressed that, you know, we all have so many differences, but when it comes to the service of Guru Maharaj, we will be one. He gave this very nice talk once about at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. There's this expression, it's apparently like very, you don't even look twice, you know, the comment of Duryodhan. He instructs his army, everybody support Bhishma. Bhishmam evabhi rakshantu. Everybody take up your posts and you support Bhishma. And Gurudev, he gave very deep illumination on this expression. He pointed out, you know, Duryodhan is saying this about Bhishma, but actually what is their relationship, right? Actually, Bhishma is doing this out of some feeling of obligation. Really, Bhishma is with the Pandavas, right? Bhishma loves the Pandavas. His heart is with the Pandavas. And he doesn't really want to be on Duryodhan's side. He's doing it because of some obligation. And Duryodhan knows that. And Duryodhan's not happy about that, you know. However, at the same time, he knows that Bhishma's going to try to do the job and Bhishma's on his side, you know, at the present time. And so therefore, he's giving this type of instruction. Everybody support Bhishma. Like we have some common objective here. For this particular purpose now, we're all going to work together. So let's forget our differences now, come together and support this person. This is also a very nice example.
Unity and diversity.
Yes, very nice. Unity and diversity. And then another point also is that we have to remember whatever faults we see in persons, once they come in connection with that purifying, the most purifying source, which is the lotus feet of Guru Gauranga, you know, they must be purified. And if we don't have faith in that, that shows a lack of faith in our Guru, actually. Gurudev also expressed that type of feeling. He told how because Gurudev would compose Sanskrit sometimes, and his writing was of such a high caliber that sometimes persons, they could not believe that he had written it himself. You know, they would think, oh, actually Sridhar Maharaj has done this, and Sridhar Maharaj, he's saying, oh, my disciple did this, but actually the Sridhar Maharaj's work. You know, they would sometimes would think like that, and Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he expressed this opinion once. You know, you really wrote this. You know, sometimes you really wrote this. I don't know if I can believe this. You know, and Gurudev, he took up the challenge once, and he he wrote something on the spot in front of him, and like proving his capacity. But his feeling was not to assert his own ego. He felt some sadness that Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj didn't have the confidence that Guru Maharaj was so great that he could empower even an ordinary person. This was Gurudev's humble feeling. Like, maybe I'm nobody, but my Guru Maharaj is somebody. And you should believe that my Guru Maharaj is so great that even a lowly person like me can become great, can become qualified. You know my qualification, like Gurudev also referred to himself, I'm the evidence of Guru Maharaj's mercy, like of Guru Maharaj's greatness. I'm the evidence of that. And so in the same way, we should see everybody with this, you know, broad and magnanimous vision. Srila Srinivasa Maharaj just discusses this very nicely in Loving Search for the Lost Servant, and he extracts this from this principle from Einstein's theory of relativity, that you cannot just reality is not at a standstill. It's not that you can take one snapshot and this is it, but you have to include all the possibilities, all the potential and everything. So we have to look at each other, look at our family members, and anyone who comes in connection. I mean, first of all, anybody, you know, as Gurudev would say, you know, why should we respect everyone? Because everybody has the Lord in their heart. And Gurudev also said, everybody has the property of eternal service to Krishna in their heart. Whatever situation they're in now, no matter how bad it is, everybody has that potential within them. So what to speak of someone who's consciously come forward and taking up this path and taking shelter of Guru and Guranga, and has some, even if it's just a small glimmer, you know, it's something, you know, they have some faith in this, then, you know, we should look at them with so much magnanimity of spirit, with much broadness of vision, you know, that anything is possible. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langaye tegrim yatvi patam ham vande shri guru dinaparanam. Like we're always saying, right? By the grace of Guru, you know, the dumb person can become an eloquent poet, the lame person can climb mountains. You know. We should have that type of faith that by the grace of Guru, anything is possible. Gurudev gave that definition of Shraddha, as I recall, that to believe the impossible is possible by the grace of Guru. That is real faith.
So Gurudev said to me once, he said, Mr. Vyas, yes, Maharaj, he said, this guy took 20 years to learn tolerance. I won't quote name. But now he's learned how to tolerate. Now I'm very happy, he said. Sometimes it takes time to learn that, you know. Like Guru Maharaj, Gurudev was beaten up by Guru Maharaj, and Gurudev used to say, are you satisfied now, Maharaj? Then I keep talking.
Oh yes, we're all works in progress, aren't we? All of us. We mustn't forget that.
It is only tolerance which can bring happiness.
Yes. No, actually, Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, he said that of all of those, humility, tolerance, and giving honor, tolerance is the most important. And by tolerance, you get everything.
Yes.
Learning that.
Humility and love, they are dependent on tolerance.
Yes. This is what Mahaprabhu is trying to teach us. And with this, if everyone will follow this teaching, the world will become a very beautiful, perfect place. If everyone will tolerate everyone.
The world will be full of love.
Yes.
No, I think.
Yes.
Not material love. Need to devotional love.
When
material love is
no,
heart.
I'm not talking about material. I'm talking with devotion. When love is there, no fighting. Material love is fighting.
More ego. No problem.
love with a capital L, not small L. As someone said to me, when I was in America, one girl, a friend of mine, a daughter of one of the devotees, he said, "I love Krishna, I really love Krishna." But to me that sounded like, "I love cake, I really love cake." You know? Like that kind of love. What is love? It's a very rare thing, actually. But divine love and partial love. Everyone has that capacity within them, right? Everyone has the capacity to give love. And everybody has the capacity and the need to be loved. Everyone. It is common to everyone. But we do not know actually what is love. We're always thinking that love with the small L is what we're after. But that's not the case at all. We want the real big love with the capital L, the divine love. And that encompasses everything. And with that, we have real love, actually. When you have that, nothing is small L love anymore. It's all capital L love.
Selfless love.
Yes, and then you will see everyone through that eye. The salve of love, we say that, right? Gyananjana Shalakaya Tokuram. So this is the collyrium of love, or the salve of love, which is given on the eye. Then you can relate to everyone with real love, not partial love, not, you know, love of the family, love of the community, love of the country. These are all loves that divide us, actually. You know, love for the ones that I choose, but not love for the others that are my enemies or, you know, my opposite. No, that not that kind of love. This Yudhisthira Maharaj says this in Mahabharata, and it's a very profound statement. He's speaking with Duryodhana, and not with Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra. He's speaking to Dhritarashtra, and he tells Dhritarashtra this statement: When I see that the love for my family is more important than the love for all other, when the love of my children is more important than the love of all other children, then war is very close at hand. This, you know, and this is our nature. We are all partial, no doubt. It's true. But when you have the real, when you're connected with love, the real love, love, divine love, then that encompasses everything and everyone. It is no longer partial and no longer divides us, but unites us. Yes, it unites us. And then there's no possibility of enmity to anyone. No possibility. If everyone will embrace that ideal, then no more war, no more quarrel, no more greed. No, everything is already solved. So, you know, when John Lennon said, "All you need is love," this is completely true. But you know, like in the beginning of Krishna book, George Harrison says, "All you need is love," in brackets, Hare Krishna. So that love, that the real love.
90% love is partial love.
Yeah. The cake love. Yeah. I love the cake. All right, are we ready? Okay.